let's go on a Friday, December 19th, 2025. Ryan Armani, JR, afternoon. Brian Morton, Danielle Mason across the glass. Big weekend for Christmas shopping, Christmas parties, kids out of school perhaps after today. What are you guys doing out there this weekend? Feels like Christmas time. However you're spending your weekend, however you're spending your time, hopefully you do it with the ones you love. No doubt about that. And thank you for making us part of your day here on 760 WJR. I'm really excited about the show today because coming up in just minutes, my good friend Rob Wolchek is with us. For three decades, he has led the problem solver unit at Fox 2. His Hall of Shame stories have been a bedrock of investigative reporting in Detroit for the last 28 years. And the bad guys are breathing a little bit easier this week after Rob announced his retirement. He's going to join us coming up for the rest of the hour. And if you want to call in, if you want to ask Rob a question, if you want to give him a well wish, we will give you the opportunity to do that. 800-859-0957, 800-859-0WJR. I want to quickly touch on the weather. It feels like we dodged a little bit of a bullet here today because the roads, it was this morning driving into Fox 2, it was raining, and then it got into the 20s, and you're thinking to yourself, you're going to be driving on a little bit of an ice rink. Thankfully, the road crews really did a nice job on the freeways and overpasses and everything like that. On the side streets, it may be a little bit icy if those roads have not been treated. So just be a little bit careful out there because there's going to be more people on the road this weekend and tonight, and we certainly want you to head into the holiday week very safe. I want to get you caught up on a local story as well that really touched a lot of people. Horrible story out of Westland where a Salvation Army bell ringer was shot and killed outside of a Westland Kroger. It happened at about 7 p.m. Last night. And earlier this morning, as reported by Scott Wolchek at Fox 2, incidentally, I've got Rob Wolchek in studio, but Scott Wolchek, good news. They did make an arrest in that case. Which that happened earlier this morning. So we do have an arrest in that case. Thankfully, it was not a random act. So these two knew each other. And I think there's so many people, and we've all done it here. We've done the bell ringing. I think initially when I heard bell ringer shot outside of Kroger, you can't help but think what in the world, because we have done that for many, many years at Fox 2, at WJR. Many in the media have done that, and turns out this was not a random act, but these two knew each other. There was the bell ringer did die, and there is an arrest in that case. So that is good news that an arrest has been made. Let me get it out now to WJR's Marie Osborne, a major tech and defense contractor, bringing its headquarters and hundreds of jobs to the city of Detroit. With details on that, here is my good friend, WJR's Marie Osborne. Hey, Marie.
Hi, Ryan. So the company's name is Echelon. It's a firm specializing in artificial intelligence and advanced cybersecurity. They have announced plans to relocate from Maryland to set up their operations along the city's riverfront. The company's in the process of purchasing the Icon, the former UAWGM training center that's now owned by Bedrock. The 420,000 square foot complex will become home to the company's corporate offices, as well as new training hub for featuring simulation labs, cyber ranges, hands-on manufacturing. City officials say that the move represents a significant investment. Echelon plans to put more than $70 million into the property and expects to create as many as 800 jobs over the next several years. The average wages, they say, topping $60 an hour by 2031. Michigan Strategic Fund has approved a $10 million grant to support the upgrades throughout the building. Ryan, company leaders say Detroit's momentum and growing tech ecosystem made it the right place to expand. Mayor Mike Duggan called the decision a sign the city is becoming a destination for high-growth, high-tech companies.
That's what we want to see, right? More jobs, more high-paying jobs certainly, especially in that industry. I mean, that's where everything's going, and we want to be the leaders there. Marie, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next hour, my friend.
Thank you.
Hey, also, this, we've been following this story for the last week. The suspect in the Brown University shooting been found dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound inside his storage unit in New Hampshire. We've also learned this person is expected to be responsible for murdering this MIT professor as well. Claudio Neves Valente is from Portugal. He attended the same university in Portugal as the MIT professor that he's accused of murdering. He also attended Brown University from 2000 to 2001, if memory serves correct. Now, there was a second person that police came to the podium in the press conference. Police come to the podium. They said there's this second person of interest that we want to talk to. That second person almost immediately came forward. That man was a homeless man named John. And John said that he had an interaction with the suspected shooter, and that shooter looked suspicious, so John followed him around, and he saw his car, and that was the key detail. He gave police a lot to go on, ultimately leading the authorities to finding this shooter. Now, John, another element to this story that is just incredible, John, the homeless man, lives in the basement of the engineering and physics building, which raises a whole nother set of questions about security in that building. How does a homeless man live in an educational building at Brown University? But that's neither here. Thankfully, he does in this story. Now, there was a $50,000 reward for information that led to an arrest. I sure hope John gets that reward because he certainly deserves it. I'm not sure that we have any information about that shooter if it wasn't for John coming forward and sharing his story and that interaction with the shooter who is now dead. But what an incredible story. They've got some answering to do to a lot of questions at Brown University. There's no doubt about that. The lack of security is stunning. These are 2025 problems. There's no key card access. There's no locked doors. There's no nothing. There's homeless people living in the basement of educational buildings. And I don't know, what's Brown University, $30,000, $40,000 a year for a student to go there? You got to get some cameras. At the very least, get a key card access to the building so you know who's in there. All right. Hey, coming up next, Rob Wolchek, Fox 2. He announced his retirement after 28 years. It's going to be in March of 2026, so we'll still have time to enjoy those stories, the Hall of Shame. Rob Wolchek with us next, 760 WJR. He is one of the greats in Detroit television news history. Rob Wolchek has been catching the bad guys in Hall of Shame reports for nearly three decades. Rob announced earlier this week that he is retiring in March of 2026. Investigative journalism in local news that has made the city of Detroit a better place and Fox 2 a better place.
You're in the Hall of Shame.
Rob joins us in studio right now, and I do want to mention that you can call in as well if you want to send Rob a well wish, if you've got a question for Rob, 800-859-0WJR, 800-859-0957. Rob Wolchek, all right.
Thank you, thank you. Yes. Thank you, Rob in the house.
Rob, okay, so you made the decision, you announced the decision to retire earlier this week. What was that like for you? I'm sure the decision was made, obviously, I don't know if it's days or weeks or months before, but when you actually went on Fox 2 and made that decision, what was that moment like for you?
Well, it's been nerve-wracking. I mean, it certainly wasn't an easy decision. I mean, when I sat on the air that I still love my job, I really do love my job. I love being on the air. I love doing the Hall of Shame. I love creating and doing all of this stuff. So it wasn't an easy decision. It's kind of a decision where I had to do it. It's like, I got to quit one of these days. And so I made the decision, and then I did it on the air. It was nerve-wracking. I don't know how else to explain it. You know, I mean, I'm happy with the decision, but I'm a bit scared. No. I'm a bit scared. I love my job. I love doing what I do. I love being a broadcaster. I love being on TV. I love it. You know, walking out of the station late at night at 11:30 at night on the night I made my announcement and seeing the crews putting their stuff away and everybody chit-chatting and everything. You know, I mean, that's what I love. That's what I got in the business for. So, I'm happy about it, but I'm nervous.
You know, it's one of those things too, like just, to make a sports reference, when an athlete retires, whenever that is, after a long career, they will say it is the, sure, they miss playing the game, but they miss the chit chat. They miss the locker room. They miss the locker room mentality. I mean, with what you have in the office with Jeremy or the guys, the photogs putting the stuff away and the editors and all of that stuff, that is all encompassing, I'm sure, for you that you will miss.
Yeah, I you know, it's a thing where it was a dream for me to be on television and be a reporter. And so actually living that dream has been like living a dream. So leaving is, you know, I mean, I hate to sound like I'm wishy-washy about it, but I'm happy about doing it. Well, I mean, they said that they wanted me to stay on and do some part-time stuff, and I really like that. So hopefully we can work all that out. So hopefully I'm not saying goodbye, but, you know, I'm definitely saying goodbye to 5 days a week, driving to the station, working my butt off, you know?
Rob, I think being wishy-washy, in your words, that's just being real.
Yeah.
Because I think one of the things about you, one, you're authentic is all get out. So that's one. So we know, you know, if you don't want to know what Rob thinks about something, don't ask him. That's number one. But number two, I think a number of people making the decision that you're making right now, when to retire, in choosing to retire, going out the way you want to go out, I do think there's probably a number of listeners right now that have either been in your shoes in trying to make that decision or are in that mindset right now. At what point is the right point? Was there a moment? Was there a decision? Was it a vacation? Was it a date? Because the older you get, the more vacation you take, it's harder to come back to work after those vacations.
There's no question. It's a lot harder than I ever expected. Listen, when I was like 55 years old doing this, I was one of those guys that said, man, I'm not going to be one of those dudes that works till I'm like 66 years old. I'm going to be out of here 59 and a half. I can get my 401k then. I'm retiring then. And then you get to be 59 and a half. You go, I still like my job. I'm going to stay for a couple more years. I could use the money. And then you stay. And so it's a lot harder a decision than I ever imagined that it would be, because I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. I'm going to keep myself busy and all of that. But, you know, I'm used to coming to work. I'm a worker since I was 12 years old. I've been working. You know, I had a paper route at 12 years old. I haven't looked back. I work, collect a paycheck, spend money. That's it. You know, so it's going to be very different.
You have made Detroit your home. This is where your kids are born. I mean, this is everything to you. Take us through your journey, how you got to Detroit and everything like that.
Well, I was in radio. You may not know that by listening to me here today.
Oh, let me tell you, the minute you get behind a microphone, I know exactly you have a radio background. Well, absolutely.
Anyways, I was in radio. I was a DJ, basically. I played records and you did the whole, you know, hey, 95.5, you know, all that kind of stuff, you know. You know, here comes, you know, the fine young cannibals. And so I did all that for years and years, and then I got to be about 30 years old, and I thought, well, I can't do this forever. I mean, there's no future in this. And so I seriously just kind of started thinking, what could I do? And I said, TV reporter, I think I could do that. That didn't seem too hard. And so
Whatever,
you know, I wanted a job where I didn't have to get up and work 9 to 5. I didn't want to go to the office and sit in there. And so then I got into the TV business, and it was a long struggle to get in. And I worked in the small markets, and I was in Bakersfield, California. And then I went to Fresno, and then I was in Fresno, and I had the opportunity to come to work here at Fox 2, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't know anybody in Detroit. I'd been to Detroit one time when I was a kid, you know, went to the Henry Ford Museum and all that kind of stuff as a little kid, 8-year-old kid or something. And then I got the opportunity, and then I came here, and everybody has kind of embraced me. You know, I think the advantage to coming here not knowing anybody was that I came in with this no-fear attitude. I'm going to make my mark. I'm going to do crazy stories. I'm going to be in your face. I'm going to go mess with these bad guys because I'm only going to be here for a couple of years. I'm going to get out of town and go to Los Angeles or New York or wherever. So this was just supposed to be a stop in my career. And then everybody here in Detroit embraced me. You know, I kind of became a hit and, you know, had another kid here. And then it was like, I don't know. The place grew on me and everybody loved me here. So I stayed here.
It is something, you know, just with my sports background, a lot of different athletes who make millions of dollars and could live anywhere in the world that they want to live. Really. So many of them have chosen to stay here in Detroit. If you come here, you stay here, you live here, you raise your family here. There is something about Detroit that, I don't want to say it gets a bad rap and go down that road, but the what people think about it who've never been here before, mm-hmm. and then you come here and see what it's like, it truly is a great place to work and raise a family.
Yeah, and people here are really nice. You know, I mean, I went, when I do my stories, you know, I'm not the polished, buttoned-up guy and all of that stuff.
That's what people like about you. I think that's what people like about me, to be quite frank with you.
Well, exactly. That I would have had to been if I'd have gone to New York or Los Angeles. And I had opportunities to leave. So I had opportunities to go to San Francisco and Los Angeles and New York. And those were always my dreams. But then I thought, they're going to make me do the stories a certain way. They're going to make me look a certain way. I just want to go out after bad guys, say what I say, and people here just love it because I think people in Detroit are just real people. We're real hardworking people. We're professionals and stuff like that, but we're not so concerned about the aesthetics of, oh, he's so good looking or he's so, you know, whatever.
I mean, you're a great looking guy, though,
well, they
Rob.
Put you
I mean,
and me
do
on,
let me tell you.
Yeah, they put you and me on TV. So I mean, there's proof right there. You don't have to be super good looking to be on TV in Detroit.
Have you been surprised about the outpouring of support and number of people that have contacted you? I mean, I'm just in front of my computer right now. I've got news, free press. Everybody's done articles on you. Everybody's talking about you. Everybody's wishing you well. What about all the number of people that you've heard from?
Yeah, it's been really nice. I mean, everybody's been very, very kind. And I really realize that I've kind of become part of the community. And I get a lot of people, and I've heard a lot of stories, and these ones always really touch me. I hear from a lot of people that are in their 30s now, say, or even their 40s, and they say, I grew up watching you. My parents used to let me stay up late to watch the Hall of Shame. I mean, they'd show the promo, and there's going to be a Hall of Shame story on tonight, and my parents would let me stay up late. And you're talking to adults. I mean, I'm, you know, they're like, oh, I grew up with you, and you're kind of thinking, gosh, am I that old? But I love those stories where people have watched me their whole lives, and that's really touching to me. And the Hall of Shame was an event. We always wanted it to be an event. You know, that was the thing. They didn't want me on TV just doing a bunch of thumbsucker stories.
They watch you because they trust you. And I truly believe, and look, I'm totally biased, right? I've worked at Fox 2 for 22 years. I think we have some of the most trusted people in the city of Detroit. And Rob Wolchek, you are absolutely somebody that they look to and trust here in the city. We'll go to the phones next. Robert will be first up, 800-859-0957. Your call's next, 760 WJR. Hopefully your holiday fun has gotten off on the right foot. Hopefully you're not working. Maybe you're finishing up the week. Maybe today is the last day that you have to work for the next couple of weeks or the next week, whatever the case may be. Thanks for making WJR part of your day. We've got Rob Wolchek, Fox 2 Hall of Shame, studio with us right now. Rob announced his retirement earlier this week after 28 years. He'll be working, though, through March
of
2026.
Yes, thank you very much for that. You know, the other night I looked on Google. I just put my name in there because I was kind of wanting to keep up on the articles and stuff. And I looked at about 2 o'clock in the morning before I went to bed, and it said Rob Wolchek is a former investigative reporter. And I'm like, what in the world is this? I feel
fake
like
news,
I'm dead or something. You know what I mean? So yes, I'm still there till March. So I will still be working at Fox 2. I just announced that I'm retiring in March.
All right. Hey, let's go to the phone lines now. If you'd like to jump in, if you'd like to offer Rob some advice on retirement or anything else, give us a call, 800-859-0WJR, 800-859-0957. Let's get to Robert in Plymouth. You are on 760 WJR with Rob Wolchek. How are you?
Hey, Robert.
Hey, great, Rob. I wish you all the best. I've been retired for almost a year now. And, you know, one thing you will find is how social your job is. You'll probably miss that, but.
Oh yeah. No doubt. I love the people I work with.
Oh, absolutely. But I do think though, you'll get into a groove, and a wise man told me years ago, he said, you can always make more money, but you can't make more time.
Okay. All right. I'll take that. You know, one of the things, Robert, that a lot of retired people have been telling me, and I even wrote it down here, they like to say, oh, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And honestly, my problem is that to me, there's nothing better than working really hard on a story, getting it on TV, watching it go out, and have people love it. So I don't know. It doesn't get any better than that. So I hope the best is yet to come, but I still like doing my job.
I do think that could be one thing that you will miss is feeling like you don't have a sense of purpose, but you can find other things in life to make, to fill that void. So,
all right.
Family and so forth. So.
Well, thank you for that advice. I think I'll be okay. I just, I'm just scared, I guess.
Yeah, that's great. Robert, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Everybody tells me that I retired at 62 almost a year ago, and it is a big jump, but you know what? You can always go back to work. You can, there's always options. Nothing's final.
Yeah, so. I know.
Good
that.
Advice, Robert. Good
Thank
advice,
young
my
guy.
Friend. Thanks
young
so
guy,
much,
62.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, young guy. Are you 67 or will be 67?
Not 66.
66. Yeah. Rob, you say the best is yet to come. The first guy I think of is Kuel Perkins.
Yeah, he's one of the ones that said that.
Have you had a conversation with him?
I have had conversations with Kuel. I've talked to Kuel Perkins. I've talked to Monica Gale. I've gotten well wishes from people at the other TV stations in town. I've heard from a lot of old people that worked at Fox 2 that are now gone. And then I've also heard from a lot of people that I've helped through the years that have contacted me and everybody's been super kind. I mean, I might have seen one or two good riddances on Facebook, things like that, but I just assume those are bad guys. But no, honestly, it's 100,000 to 1 people have been super kind, and the love is wonderful.
That's pretty awesome. Rob Wolchek in studio with us, Fox 2 Hall of Shame. Do you have a favorite story?
I have some favorite stories. Jeremy, my cameraman, who's here right now taking pictures.
One of the best.
Poor Jeremy. He's had to listen to me with my big head for. I've been reading him like these heartfelt things and making him listen to how people love me. So it's, but he's a good guy. He and I were talking about some of the stories, and we looked at some of the old stories, and I like the one about the rapper, hip hop hustler, and you know, those are fun because they're fun to make fun of.
And at what point did you start to really go in on the Hall of Shame? Was that from day one? I mean, I don't remember a time where you didn't do that.
Well,
but
how did that happen? It was early I started in 97, and they wanted some stupid catchphrase like, I'm Rob Wolchek, and I will check up on you. Or I mean, it was corny stuff. And I was like, so I'm like, yeah, let's just stick with this Hall of Shame. And then they kept saying, you need to sell it. You need to sell it. You're in the Hall of Shame. So I was just doing the, you know, TV reporter
thing. You're in the Hall of Shame.
And you're in the Hall of Shame, you know, kind of thing. And so then they were like, sell it, sell it. So we started doing some takes, and finally I just did this, you're in the Hall of Shame. And I can't really even do it that good because my headphones are coming off. But and I did it, and they were like, yeah, that's it. And I was like, you got to be kidding. And then it just caught on. You know, it certainly wasn't anything planned, like, wow, people are going to go up to me 30 years later and be screaming, you're in the Hall of Shame. But they do. So it was a good move.
Absolutely. I mean, it's one of the catchphrases that so many people will remember in Detroit television news history. Yeah. We're talking about the history of Detroit television news, which is as rich a history as, you know, I'll put it up against New York, Chicago, L.A., Philadelphia, Boston, anywhere. And that phrase is synonymous with Detroit. Jerry in Brownstown Township, you're on 760 WJR. How you doing, Jerry?
Hey, guys, it's Gary. But anyway,
oh, hey, Gary.
Doing, buddy? Hey, Rob, now you're going to be in the Hall of Fame.
All right. Yeah. Well, I hope so.
I retired from the FAA at 56, which is like almost 20 years ago now. I'm still active in a volunteer safety group. It's called the FAA Safety Team. So I still have some contacts, and I don't know. I've done a bunch of other things. I'm a wannabe. I've done some reporting myself, an account on X. Actually have a couple of things posted on YouTube of reports I did. But you're the man when it comes to busting bad guys. You're going to be sorely missed. My question is for you is, has anybody thought about maybe, you know, your son taking your place, or do they have anybody in mind?
Well, certainly.
That's a great question.
Yeah, certainly that suggestion has come up many times. As you know, my son Scott is a reporter at Fox 2, and Scotty is a really talented kid.
Very talented.
He really is.
And listen to me. Can I just say this? Gary, thanks so much for the call. Scott is truly talented,
yep,
and one of the go-to guys. I love watching his reports because I think it's one of those things, and I'll say it and I'll let you say it too, but I think in this business, you've got to get the facts of the story right. That's first and foremost. That is a given. You have to do that. But if you don't do it without any personality at all,
mm-hmm,
I don't want to say it doesn't mean anything, but when you're fighting for eyeballs, mm-hmm, you got to give people a reason to watch you, and you need to have a personality, and Scott has that personality.
Yeah, when he was a young man, when he was in high school, I used to hear him down in the basement practicing his speeches. And, you know, he's my kid, so you know how you think about your kids. You know, he's kind of a knucklehead. I'm not one of those guys that went around thinking, my kids are the best
right,
and all this. But I would listen to him practicing his speeches down. He's, you know, sophomore in high school and stuff. And I thought, God, he's pretty talented. The kid's really got talent. And then when he was an intern at Fox 2 and he went off to become a reporter, I thought to myself, he's really good. So he really is a talented guy. As far as him taking over from me, that's not up to me.
Right.
I mean, if they want to make him do it, if they want to pay him enough to do it, that's fine with me. He's a grown man now, and that's his decision.
Well, it's definitely an asset to have Scott Wolchek as part of the team. Rob, one more segment with you. More of your calls. David and Howell will be first up with us next. And then I want to ask you about the news business as a whole, from the time you've got in to where we are now, where we're going as well, your thoughts on that next. We're with Rob Wolchek of Fox 2, 760 WJR. It's been great being in studio with Fox 2's Rob Wolchek. Earlier this week, he announced that he was going to retire in March of 2026 after 28 years in the problem solver unit at Fox 2, doing the Hall of Shame stories, catching the bad guys. David in Howell, you are first up here, 760 WJR. And again, 800-859-0WJR, 800-859-0957. Hey, David.
Thank you, Ryan, for the opportunity to be on your show. I apologize to your screener. I said that I had four pieces of advice for Rob, but I actually have five. But I'll try and be succinct. And,
okay,
then,
fair enough.
And
only got an hour and 12 minutes left, so let's cut it short, please.
Oh, okay, I'll try to get through three then.
Okay.
Try to get through three. Okay, here they are, Rob.
Okay.
And I'm not retired, but this is my observation. I observe my observation of retired people. One, is that your wife has been jealous of your job because, you know, it's pretty well controlled your schedule for your adult career. And so now is the time to make up for all that jealousy and to, you know, really bless her, to indulge her with your time. Your children, that's the second thing, your children. And if you have good fortune of grandchildren, the children and grandchildren have had to give up for your job, for you to be successful. And so now it's time to indulge and bless them. And if you're involved in a church or a synagogue, some kind of community organization where you're active very often, not just like giving blood at the Red Cross where you go every so many months, but organization that you're really very active on a regular basis with, they've been jealous of your job and your success and everything. And there's some things that they'd like you to, they feel like they've been waiting, and now it's their turn to for you to show them some more time.
Well,
look at that advice.
That is some interesting advice. I don't know if I agree with it. I don't know if my wife and everybody's jealous.
I don't know
of
about
my
jealous.
Job,
jealous might not be the right word.
Yeah, you know, whatever.
No, it's jealous. It's jealous.
Okay. I believe you. I don't know. I haven't retired yet. But yeah, no.
David, thanks so much for the call.
Wait. Just two real quick. And then the other thing is find somebody that you know who's kind of lonely, a middle-aged guy who's kind of lonely, doesn't have, you know, a lot of friends, doesn't have any hobbies. And
sounds like Ryan Armani.
Zero in on that person. Give them a hobby. Spend some time with them. All of a sudden, you can change their outlook on life. And then the last thing is that go find, and you don't have to do this very often, but go find a place where down and out people go and hang out. You know, maybe there's like some kind of a soup kitchen or some kind of dinner, and just show up every so often. You don't have to announce that you're there to help anybody, but just sit there and listen.
That's great advice, Greg. David, thanks so much. Thanks so much, David. Really appreciate it. That's great. Look, the wording of it might not be right, but the gist of it, I understand. Give your wife, give your kids, give the church or an organization, give people your time because you will have time. But those are all ways to utilize your time.
Listen, I'm not going away. I mean, I may not be on the TV as often as is happening now, but I'm not going away. I'll still be around. I'm staying here in Detroit, and I'm not going to be some guy who just sits at home watching TV or listening to the WJR all afternoon.
Oh man, I might
do that someday, but I'm just saying I'm going to be out and about. I mean, I got stuff I want to do, and I got dreams I want, and I'm going to be around. So I mean, it's definitely, but it's an adjustment because I'm a guy who's been working 5 days a week.
Rob, what do you make of news from the time you got in to the time you're in now?
Well, it's changed, obviously. You know,
where is social media?
Yeah, the way people get news, and I'm not a big fan of all of the, when they started changing it so that, you know, if you like a certain thing, they start sending that to you and all the algorithms and all that kind of stuff. I'm not a fan of that because I used to sit there and watch the news from 10 to 11 at night, and you saw everything. You saw the shooting in Westland. You saw the charity event. You saw the sports. You saw the weather. You saw all of that. I'm not a big fan of the direction it's going, but you have to change with time. So, you know, I just try to be popular with everybody, and that way I get on all the algorithms, I guess.
In the next 3 months, because you are going to work through March of 2026. In the next 3 months, have you, since this announcement, noticed a level of, like, do you want to ramp it up? What are you looking to do over the next 3 months? Are you looking to go out with a bang kind of thing? Or what?
I don't know.
Lot of this you look for, but they come to you as well. The stories are the stories, right?
I got a few stories that I've started that I want to finish. So I've interviewed some people. You know, I'm usually working on 5 or 6 stories at once, and they kind of end when they end. You know, it's hard to catch bad guys. The story gets hot and this and that. So I have some stories where I've interviewed people that I want to get done by March, and then we'll see what happens after that. I don't know. I'm not trying to make any kind of glorious thing. Like, I've got one up my sleeve that you're not going to believe. I'm saving it or anything like that. I don't know. I think, you know, when you were asking earlier, what's your favorite story? And honestly, I like to say all of my stories are my favorites because they're all kind of my babies. I work on them a long time. I want them all to be good. So
right.
I like all of them. So I've got some good stories coming up. I have no doubt I'm going to put together some good stories coming up, but I don't have anything special. Like I've been saving this until for my curtain call.
Have you, I know the answer to this, so I got to ask it a different way. Have you ever been, how many times do you feel like you're ever scared to be out there? Like, you know what? Don't really feel good about this one.
Yeah. It's a dangerous job, and it's nerve-wracking to get the bad
guys.
Yeah, it's nerve-wracking to get the bad guys. There's no question about that. I mean, for Jeremy, my cameraman, as well as me, you know, we're going to go surprise somebody and give them some bad news, so to speak. So that's a bit scary. But honestly, by the time I go and talk to the bad guys, I can't wait to talk to them. So it's not really a thing where I'm scared. I'm aware that things can go wrong, and I'm always prepared for if things go wrong, if somebody swings at me or anything like that. You've seen me dodge a few punches over the years. I'm always aware of that, but I'm not really scared because I want to talk to them. I want to hear what they have to say. I've talked to the victims. I know how bad the victims feel. And so I'm amped up to do it. I mean, I'm kind of born to do this job. I like it. You know, I like doing this.
All right. In the final minute here, I know you're a huge Pistons fan.
I am.
21-6. What do you make of the Detroit Pistons? First place, Eastern Conference. How far can they go this year?
Well, I say it's going to be between them and the Knicks this year in the East. I think the Pistons will win. I hope so, at least. They lost last night in a very tight game and an overtime game. I think they're great. I love the Pistons. Cade Cunningham is really fantastic, and we need to embrace him as a superstar because he is a superstar and a good guy. And JB Bickerstaff and the Pistons, they're a great team, and they're just a great team. We're going to go far. We've got a great team, and I would not be surprised if we didn't bring home another NBA championship. Not maybe this year, but maybe next year. Maybe this year. Who knows? They're really good.
Rob Wolchek, he's not going anywhere for a while, but in March of 2026, he will
be slowing down a bit. Don't write my obituary yet. I will still be around.
Never. Rob, this was great fun, man. Thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, thank you.
Really appreciate it, buddy. Rob Wolchek, Fox 2, one of the best. And I have to give a shout-out to Fox 2 photojournalist as well, Jeremy Smith, who is here with him, Rob's longtime cameraman, editor, everything. So good job, Jeremy. Good to see you, my friend. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, top of the hour, we'll get you caught up on some news. We're also going to touch on the Lions. We'll get into the latest with the Michigan Wolverine search, what's going on with that investigation, all that and so much more. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started here on 760 WJR. Hour number two of the program here on 760 WJR. Hopefully everybody is enjoying themselves on this Friday or finishing up a little bit of work as you head into the weekend here. It's going to be a big weekend for probably those last-minute gifts, a lot of wrapping. Maybe you've got the holiday party, the Christmas party, whatever the case may be. It's going to be a fun time. I like the way that the holiday falls. I like the way Christmas falls this year with it being on a Friday, kind of leading into the weekend. So you don't really have to worry about the day after Christmas. So many people that have to work day after Christmas and this, that, and the other thing. It's nice that it falls on a weekend this year. Now that yesterday President Trump signed this presidential, what do you call those things? The orders. Having a holiday brain fart right now, but I hate that. I probably shouldn't say that word on the radio, but executive orders, not the president, the executive order to make Christmas Eve and the day after Christmas federal holidays, which good for them. I can't believe it hasn't been anyway. I'd have to believe that somebody thought to make Christmas Eve a federal holiday. Now you could say it's a religious holiday, whatever you want, but I did a little research. 90% of Americans celebrate Christmas in one form or another, whether it's the religious aspect or just the cultural aspect of celebrating Christmas. And if you do that, chances are you celebrate on Christmas Eve too. It's like a two-day celebration, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. And, you know, a little bit of morale. I think it's a little bit of a morale boost for employees as well, knowing that you would have Christmas Eve off and the day after Christmas and everything like that might lower your stress if you have children and young kids and you're battling, oh, I got to work. I get to come home at 5 o'clock or whatever, and then you can do something with the kids or whatever the case may be. I'm surprised it hadn't happened until now. You get the day after Thanksgiving off. Why wouldn't you get the day after Christmas off? Or Christmas Eve. Now, hopefully, a lot of companies hopefully will adopt that federal line of thinking now that the president did yesterday. That was a great move by the president. No doubt about it. I have a hard time believing that even one person, even one, and there's usually always one, but I have a hard time believing that there is even one person out there that thinks that's a bad idea. And if you do, give me a call. Tell me where I'm wrong. 800-859-0WJR, 800-859-0957. Let me get to Marie Osborne now. Cheese lovers rejoice. A new Swedish study found that eating full-fat cheese is good for that dome, good for your brain. WJR's Marie Osborne says the study might be good news for cheese lovers, but some doctors say not so fast. Hey, Marie.
Hi there, Ryan. I don't know if you're a cheese lover or
love
not.
I love it.
Yeah, and it's fitting this time of year, right, when we all want a little bit of cheese and crackers and all the good stuff. So participants in this study who ate at least two slices of high-fat cheese a day had a 13% lower risk of developing dementia and a 29% lower risk of vascular dementia. Eating full-fat cheese and cream may have been linked to lower risk of developing dementia. And again, this study was from Sweden. The research was published in the journal Neurology. It suggested the people who regularly consumed high-fat dairy products, we're talking about cheddar, brie, gouda, and full-fat cream, are less likely to develop this dementia over several decades. The study followed about 27,000 adults in Sweden who were an average age of about 58 when they joined this research. They were tracked for about 25 years, during which time just over 3,000 were diagnosed with dementia. Researchers found that the people who ate at least 50 grams of high-fat cheese per day, that's again about two slices of cheddar, were less likely to develop dementia than those who ate less than that 15 grams a day. Now, one leading nutrition researcher, Dr. Walter Willett of Harvard, says the researchers didn't really thoroughly follow up with the participants. He had trouble really with this particular study and how it was conducted. So he said, this is a great line, I'm not going to go out and buy a block of cheese. So he says, tread carefully on this one. By the way, the associations in this did not extend to all dairy products. So we're not talking about all dairy products here.
Well, you know, these days, Marie, we try to find things that make us feel better anyway. And cheese, it certainly makes me feel better. So I'll look at this study and I'll post it on my wall and I'll be like, okay, see, it's good for me.
Yeah.
Marie, you're the best. Thanks so much, my friend. We'll talk to you next week. You got okay. it. Coming up next, Alex Zilkowski, our college football insider. We're going to talk some Michigan football. But first, this is a really big game for the Lions this weekend. Hard to believe, but this is the final home game of the season. Where did this season go? And here's the situation after last night, the Seahawks beat the Rams in one of the craziest games you will ever see, but the Seahawks won that game. If the Seahawks lost last night and then lost their last two, that was another path for the Lions to get into the playoffs. But now the Seahawks' path to get in, that is now over. But there's three games to go in the season, and for the Lions to get into the playoffs, they have to win them all. So you could essentially say the playoffs start on Sunday for the Detroit Lions. Now, the most likely path to the playoffs for Detroit is through the Chicago Bears. Chicago plays home against Green Bay, at San Francisco, and versus Detroit. So for the Lions fans out there, Saturday night on Fox 2, the Packers at Chicago, you are rooting for Green Bay. Get your cheese heads. Marie was just talking about how good cheese is. Cheese head cheese is going to be good for you on Saturday night as well. Because if the Packers beat the Bears on Saturday night, that is the only thing you need for the Lions to control their own destiny once again. Packers win, Lions control their own destiny. If Chicago beats Green Bay, then the Packers would also have to lose one of their two remaining games. They finish at home versus the Ravens and then on the road at Minnesota. So if Chicago wins, Detroit, you control your own destiny. If Green Bay wins, if I just confused everybody. If Green Bay wins, you are rooting for Green Bay. Detroit controls their own destiny. If Chicago wins, you'll need to, Green Bay to lose another game in their last two. So just root for the Packers and have it be over. Coming up next, we'll talk some college football. Bowl season is here. What's going on with the Michigan Wolverine coaching search? All of that and so much more. 760 WJR. 318 on a Friday. Hopefully everybody's having a good weekend so far as you head into it. Time now for our WJR College Football Insider. It's a Football Friday brought to you by our friends at Skinny Butcher. And now you can get this new line of low-calorie portable protein dippers at Meijer and Kroger. Find the crazy dippers. Michigan companies teaming up. Find Skinny Butcher in the refrigerated meat section. Our good friend Alex Zilkowski joins us now. How you doing, Alex?
I'm doing great. It's Friday, and I'm excited for the college football playoff to get underway this weekend.
Let's start there, because tonight is a big game between Alabama and Oklahoma. It's the first round of the college football playoff. Lots of anticipation for this one. But aside from the game, I think a lot of Michigan people, a lot of eyes on the college football world, keeping an eye on what happens here with Kalen DeBoer, the head coach at Alabama. If they lose, even though he said he is not leaving Alabama, would he leave Alabama?
Yeah, it's certainly a possibility. I mean, he has a lot of ties to the Midwest. He's coached at Eastern Michigan before. His wife is from the Southeastern Michigan area. So it certainly is a possibility. And the reason why Michigan fans also have to be rooting for Oklahoma very hard tonight is because Kalen DeBoer is just not going to be a Lane Kiffin type and, you know, negotiate with another school while in the midst of a playoff run, especially when you're already the head coach at a school like the University of Alabama. So if you're Michigan, this game and you're watching this game, it has so much effect on our program in the long run, because yes, if Alabama loses tonight, Kalen DeBoer could become the head coach. If not, and they win and they move on to the next round, I think Michigan goes full steam ahead on the Kenny Dillingham train. I would not be surprised if Kenny Dillingham would be named the head coach next week.
Is that what you believe, Alex, the order is? DeBoer 1, Dillingham 2?
Yes, I do. I mean, earlier today at the press conference, some players were talking about how they would like Biff Poggi to be the next head coach, but I just don't really think that's
what
Michigan's going
to do. They
have to
say that. They love Biff Poggi. No, I love Biff Poggi. He's not going to be the head coach.
Yes, I agree. And so, yeah, I think really Kalen DeBoer is everyone's number one, and I think he'd be a great fit for the program as well. But yeah, I mean, you can't wait around forever because the transfer portal opens up January 2nd. So you can't wait around seeing what another team that has. So you need a coach who's there and available. So if he's not available by Monday next week, I think, yeah, Kenny Dillingham gets a nod.
Alex, you mentioned fit. And, you know, and I say this a lot with Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell, as head coach of the Lions, is a great fit with the Lions. Would he be a good fit for the New York Giants or the Tennessee Titans or somebody like that? Who knows? But I do believe fit matters. Do you think Kalen DeBoer fits at Alabama? It feels like he needs to come to the Midwest and go to Michigan. But do you see what I'm saying there? This fit at Alabama just doesn't seem like it's a good mesh.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think on one hand, Alabama's a little bit too good of a job to pass up. There were rumors he's interested in Michigan in 2023 or January 2024, but Jim Harbaugh hadn't left yet, and Nick Saban retired beforehand, so he went to Alabama. But there's some things where I think the city of Tuscaloosa is just such a fishbowl, and you have to deal with some just weird off-the-field controversy, like fans getting upset at him for wearing a T-shirt instead of a polo shirt when coaching a game last fall, where I think things like that can really get under someone's skin and make them, you know, make them want to look for another opening somewhere else.
Okay, so Dillingham, if DeBoer, let's say Alabama wins tonight, DeBoer stays at Alabama, you think Kenny Dillingham at Arizona State would be the guy?
I would, yes. I mean, he's a great offensive mind. He's a great recruiter. He's young and energetic. He has some good reputation in the Metro Detroit area because he actually recruited Dante Moore to Oregon. So I think he would get the nod ultimately. And he's also shown he's willing to run the ball a lot on offense, which Michigan has a great running back room and another great running back coming in Savion Hyder. So I think that would be a very good fit.
Talk to me about, if it's not one of those two, where does Michigan go at that point? Is there a dark horse third candidate, anybody out there that you think this search would lead to or who Michigan fans would be comfortable with?
Yeah, I think there's kind of a cluster of guys for that third option. I think it'd be somewhere between someone who's either Clark Lea at Vanderbilt, Eli Drinkwitz at Missouri, or Jeff Brohm at Louisville. I think all of them would be kind of hard to get for different reasons. Both Brohm and Lea are coaching at their alma mater, so that's always hard to do. And Eli Drinkwitz is kind of a Southern guy and I think is very happy at Missouri for the time being. So I'm not necessarily sure where the pivot would be, but I would expect Michigan to go really hard after one of those three in that case scenario.
Ward Manuel, where do you think he is here at Michigan? Is this his hire? Where does the investigation stand? What are you hearing on that front? Is Ward Manuel in for the long haul, in your opinion?
I don't know if he's in for the long haul, to be honest, but I think there's just too much turmoil right now. I don't have a football coach, don't have a full-time sitting president. So I think this is his hire, and he has done a very good job on his last few major hires, and one retaining Brandon Nerado, the hockey coach, which Michigan hockey's rolling this year, and the Dusty May hire. So there's been some in the past, but he's on a good history right now of making the hire. So I think this is his hire. And maybe, you know, maybe his job security gets circled back to in April or March once Michigan gets a president in there and some of this drama's died down. But for the meeting, it feels like he's safe.
All right. We're talking to Alex Zilkowski. This segment brought to you by our friends at Skinny Butcher. Let's talk about the games on the field right now. And we'll start with Michigan and December 31st against Texas. Where are the players? Minds that, you know, you look at social media because Fort Schembechler is like literally a fort. You don't get any information out of there a lot of times. What about the practices? How are the players doing? Are you hearing rumblings about anybody that wants to leave? And then ultimately, what does this week look like against Texas?
Yeah, so there inevitably will be some people who leave. That's just the nature of the beast. But the fact that there haven't been too many people who have jumped and made their intent to the portal yet is a good sign. There's literally a press conference earlier today at Schembechler, and the vibes are not great, in all honesty. I think it's been a very tumultuous 10 days for the program and the players, and it's just been kind of a whirlwind of emotion. So I think that getting the practice and the holidays stuff will be good for them long term. But Texas is a very good team. I mean, they barely missed the playoffs if it weren't for them losing to Florida. Arch Manning got a lot better through the year. And they gave them an absolute fit last year when they came to the Big House, given that was a better Texas team than this one. But Steve Sarkisian really knows how to attack Wink Martindale's defense. It's going to be interesting to see how they go back to the film there and fix some of the mistakes they made in that game.
All right, college football playoff starts tonight. Alabama and Oklahoma, who do you like?
I like Oklahoma. Alabama, they've just had some problems in getting the run game going this year, ultimately. And their offensive line is just a lot better at pass blocking. So it makes them just kind of one-dimensional on offense. And I think Oklahoma's defense is just great. And it's in Norman, so I like the Sooners there.
Saturday, three games, starts with Miami and Texas A&M.
Yeah, this one's going to be close. Both teams are really good in the trenches. They've had some good wins this year. We've seen them with a common opponent against Notre Dame, and both of them played pretty close. So I ultimately like Texas A&M. I think they're a little bit better on the perimeter as well, have some good receivers. And then also Mario Cristobal at Miami's just had some very questionable game management blunders throughout his career. So I like Mike Elko and the Aggies.
All right, Tulane and Ole Miss. Ole Miss without Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot closer than when they met earlier in the regular season, and Tulane lost by 27. But, I mean, Tulane's coach as well, John Summerall, he's working two jobs right now. He's both the active head coach of Tulane and the Florida Gators. So that's too much to handle. And I think the SEC talent is going to be greater than Tulane talent. So I think it'll be closer, but I still think the Rebels move on.
Tulane has no business in the playoff, and neither does James Madison, in my opinion. James Madison will play Oregon.
Yeah, Oregon's look great, and they're really the dark horse of this college football playoff. I think they handle James Madison well. We see how much Big Ten teams struggle with those West Coast road trips, and it's going to be even harder for James Madison to go on the road in the playoffs like that.
Alex Zilkowski, happy holidays, my friend. We'll talk to you again soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You got it. That is our College Football Insider. And again, brought to you by our friends at Skinny Butcher. You can get this new line of low-calorie portable protein dippers at Meijer and Kroger. You can find the crazy dippers in the refrigerated meat section. Look for Skinny Butcher. That was Alex Zilkowski. All right, coming up next, I'm going to dive into the Michigan investigation a little bit, and you'll hear what interim president Grasso had to say about the search for the next head coach. We'll do that next, 760 WJR. So earlier this week, Michigan interim president Domenico Grasso seems like a really nice guy. And, you know, I watched the statement that he posted on Michigan's YouTube channel. It was a fine statement, but I will say this. The last, I don't know, really since Lloyd Carr left. Really, that's what I was, since Lloyd Carr left as coach at Michigan, the infighting at Michigan has been nauseating. It's been a power struggle. Who's in charge? Many different coaches, many different athletic directors, many different presidents. And Michigan's worst enemy has been Michigan. If Michigan can get on the same page with one another, from regents to president to administrators to professors to coaches to athletic directors, that place would be unstoppable. And I've really soured on this whole idea of Michigan man and we're the leaders and best. Michigan has been a disaster. It's been scandal after scandal, firing after firing. And it's just kind of miserable. I don't know what happened to that place. Maybe that is the epitome of power struggle, when you have so many people reaching and pulling and clawing for power at a particular place. You know, so many people go in CYA mode too. You know what that CYA mode is, and I won't tell you what it is if you don't know what it is. If you know, you know. But here's President Grasso. First and foremost, this is the update on the investigation. This is what is going on right now at Michigan. Oop, I can't play any of this sound. okay, never mind. But it's there. It's just not playing. That's okay. It's a Friday. It's a Friday. But one of the things that he talked about was that the investigation is still happening. They have hired out this firm in Chicago to do an independent review of the Michigan Athletic Department, the culture, and everything like that. I will say this. Sherrone Moore is not and should not be the only person to lose their job. That's first and foremost. Okay, let's try this now. Hold on.
First and foremost, I want to underscore that the University of Michigan is committed to a campus culture of respect, integrity, and excellence. That is why we took decisive action last week to terminate the employment of Coach Moore. And we are continuing the investigation of Coach Moore's actions to uncover any additional germane and material information and to assess whether there may be related misconduct by others.
That's great. I'm totally on the same page as that. But those are just words to me right now. Those are just words in a statement. And they sound good, but Sharon Moore cannot and should not be the only person to lose his job at Michigan. And that could be Ward Manuel. That could be anybody. I obviously a lot of people are believe Ward Manuel should lose his job. I do as well. And he's done a lot of great things for the university. But all of these things have happened under his watch. And I'm not just talking about the Sharon Moore stuff. It's a wide range of things in every, from Juwan Howard to the hockey program to, everything that happened under the Harbaugh tenure, which, I don't really, a lot of people are talking about, would Mike McDonald come back to Michigan or Jesse Minter, the defensive coordinator? I don't want anybody that is coaching with Harbaugh now to come back either. That's how grossed out I am by everything that's happened at Michigan, believe it or not. I never thought I would say that, but that's totally how I feel about it. I just don't think – I'm ready to be done with the Harbaugh era at Michigan too, because that was a lot of this stuff, a lot of these little things that have become big things. Here's the president at Michigan about his job currently.
It is my job, my duty, to ensure the integrity of this investigation. We will take whatever steps are necessary to help ensure that conduct like this does not happen again. Make no mistake, we will leave no stone unturned, and any further actions we take will be based on credible evidence and findings developed through a rigorous investigation. If the university learns of information through this investigation or otherwise that warrants a termination of any employee, we will act swiftly, just as we did in the case of Coach Moore.
And again, we'll see. I mean, he's saying all the right things. What about the next head coach at the University of Michigan? Here's what President Grasso says about that.
We intend to hire an individual who can and will instill that spirit, and who will represent the highest values that our university holds dear. We will hire an individual who is of the highest moral character and who will serve as a role model and respected leader for the entire football program, and who will, with dignity and integrity, be a fierce competitor.
I hope it is not somebody affiliated with Michigan. I'm ready to start fresh. I'm ready to start clean. And the last thing I want to hear at a podium of a new head coach is, I'm a Michigan man, because that doesn't mean anything to me anymore. What is a Michigan man? That phrase to me should be tossed out with all the other bad stuff that's been happening at Michigan over the course of the last, 15 years specifically, ever since Rich Rod came. No, you had Rich Rodriguez, you had Brady Hoke, Jim Harbaugh, then Sharon Moore. It's just been a revolving door at coach, and it's just been scandal after scandal, power fight after power fight. And I don't know, I'm ready for a new day at Michigan. Absolutely. If you've got a thought on that, feel free. 800-859-0957, 800-859-0957. I do believe that nobody knows anything about who the next head coach will be. But my gut tells me that if Alabama loses tonight, that it will be Kalen DeBoer. And then I think it's Kenny Dillingham after that. Just I'm totally in line with Alex Zilkowski up to that point. If both turn Michigan down, and I wouldn't be shocked if both turned Michigan down as well. If they both say no, they're staying put. They get nice, fancy, shiny new deals at Alabama and Arizona State, respectively. I don't know where they go. I don't know where they go, but I do know this. Sharon Moore should not be the only person to lose his job at Michigan. time to clean house. Time to clean up now for the new year. We're coming right back. Steve Courtney will join us. We'll check in with Steve. Talk about those Pistons last night. The Lions, what's ahead with them? All that and so much more. Don't go anywhere. 760 WJR. 760 WJR. The one, the only, Steve Courtney with us now, everybody. Hey, Steve, how we doing, baby? Oh, yeah.
Well, I know this there, Mr. Ryan. We are closing down yet another week, huh?
There it is. My guy.
Yes, sir. Happy Friday to you, everybody. Pistons in Dallas last night. And leading up to it there, Ryan, we were talking about Cooper Flagg, the very talented young rookie. Well, he had 23 points and 10 boards last night. Anthony Davis had 15, and the Mavericks were able to recover. They almost blew an 18-point third-quarter lead to our Pistons, but give the Mavericks the 116-114 win in overtime, no less. And still, just an amazing deal. Cooper Flagg is going to turn 19 years old on Sunday. He's averaging 25.4 points over his last eight games. I can't even tell you what I was doing when I was 19. Probably nothing of any good.
Couldn't tell you what I was doing at 39 years old, let alone 19. But I will. Isn't the NBA kind of funny? You know, LeBron James leaves Cleveland. They get the number one pick in Kyrie. Luka Doncic leaves Dallas. They get the number one pick in Cooper Flagg. New Orleans loses, I don't know, they lost somebody. Maybe it was Anthony Davis. They get Zion Williamson.
Right.
What in the world? How does that work out like that?
It's crazy, but I do know this. It was a very chippy tilt last night. I'll let you know, Cade Cunningham was, well, Cade Cunningham, 29 points, 10 boards, 10 assists, his third triple-double this season. But Asar Thompson was ejected late in the first half after disputing a foul and making inadvertent contact with official John Goble. So after the tilt, I don't know if you read about this, Piston head coach J.B. Bickerstaff singled out the crew chief John Goble as not objective after their overtime loss. Coach Bickerstaff never specified the official by name during his post-game availability, but he repeatedly referenced calls made by Goble, including that technical foul and ejection of Asar during that second quarter. According to Bickerstaff, Goble told him during the game, night by night, this is how our interactions are. And then he would go on to say, so that says to me that the referee is coming into the game not being objective. So it just went from there. Meanwhile, Goble told the pool reporter that Asar was ejected for aggressively approaching and making contact with an official. We all know that, but I saw it, and I don't think there was anything aggressive about it, to be honest with you.
The official probably had the under on Asar Thompson.
You know what? We chuckle there, but listen, I would not be the least bit surprised the way things are going these days to read a little something about that.
The official had the under on Asar Thompson points in that last night's game.
Oh, dear. Well, we've put it off as long as we
allegedly.
Can.
Allegedly. Just kidding.
The official start of the college football playoff getting underway tonight, 8 o'clock, as a matter of fact, in Norman, Oklahoma. Never been there, but I'm sure they're excited. First of all, before we go on, number one seed Indiana, number two Ohio State, number three Georgia, number four Texas Tech all have first-round byes. An intriguing matchup tonight with number nine Alabama and number eight, Oklahoma. I'll let you know, OU is favored as it stands right now by a point and a half. But you are a Michigan football Wolverine fan, are you not, Mr.
I am, Ryan? I am, and that is why I'll be rooting for the Oklahoma Sooners tonight.
Well, then you've read the reports, and they are not going away. It was a week ago or so that Kalen DeBoer, the head coach of the Sooners, said, look, me and my family are very happy in Tuscaloosa, love what's going on here. But there is still the thought that if Alabama doesn't win this rematch, that they may go a different direction there in Tuscaloosa. which many under the impression, if that's the case, he would immediately bolt to Ann Arbor. Would you be good with this, sir?
I would be. He is my top choice. I just think he's a good fit in Ann Arbor. I don't think he's a good fit in Alabama. I think he could bring some a stable force to Michigan athletics. And even when he made that statement and said that he was not going anywhere, I didn't buy it for a second. I thought he still was the guy, and we'll see what happens. I could be wrong on that, but if Oklahoma wins tonight, I expect DeBoer to be here within the next 5 days.
When these two teams met in November, just to refresh your memory, OU got the 23-21 win. That was in Tuscaloosa. Many looking at tomorrow's high noon tilt as being the marquee game of the weekend. That's number 10 Miami paying a visit to number 7 Texas A&M. A&M right now favored by 3.5, and I would not be shocked if this was a blowout one way or the other, or if it went to like 7 overtimes. You've got quite a defense there with Texas A&M. A lot of folks under the impression Miami sneaks in. I know if you're a Notre Dame fan, you will not. I repeat, you will not be watching this tilt.
Tulane shouldn't be in. James Madison shouldn't be in. That's not even – did you hear what Nick Saban said? He said James Madison and Tulane being in is like a Triple-A team making it to the MLB postseason. It's equivalent to that. But I will say – this weekend's games are very important. Now, we don't have much data other than last year. Okay, last year was the only year of the 12-team playoff. But last year, you mentioned those four teams with a bye, Ohio State, Texas Tech, Indiana, and Georgia. Last year, 1, 2, 3, and 4 lost
yes.
in their games. Two teams that had played a game prior. I've always said I never cared about the bowl season because I don't think you can play your best football just waiting for a month while you play. But these teams that play this weekend have an advantage, I believe, going into next weekend's games.
Well, and you mentioned the number 11-seeded Tulane club. they're taking on number 6 Ole Miss. Now, we know what's going on there. Ole Miss will not be under the watchful eye of Lane Kiffin. He bolts to LSU. So Pete Golding, the former defensive coordinator, is now the head coach for Ole Miss. And this is part of the 6 rematches that we have seen this season. You remember Ole Miss annihilated Tulane in week 4, probably why they're a 17.5-point favorite. And I'll just echo what Nick Saban has said. You know, and we're never going to get away from it, the debate that goes on with this 12-team college football playoff deal. But mid-majors, I'm sorry. You're talking about strength of competition, everything else along the way. I don't think we're going to get away from it. So this is where we are.
No doubt about it. Steve Courtney, you're the best, buddy. Have a great weekend. If I don't talk to you next week, I don't know if I will or not, but Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holiday, all of it.
Same to you and yours, Ryan. Always a pleasure, my friend.
You got it, buddy. I want to thank Brian Morton, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski. I want to thank Rob Wolchek for coming in studio today as well. But more importantly, I want to thank you for making us part of your day. I cannot thank you enough. I hope you all have a great weekend. I hope you spend it with the ones that you love, or at least the ones that you like. And hopefully you get some relaxed time as well. But have a great weekend, everybody. Merry Christmas. We'll see you next week. This is 760 WJR.